Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
We're to wake up, do this, knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believe. I think he's simply saying to Christians there in Rome, wake up. He's saying to us, the 21st century, you got to wake up. It's later than you think. See, a lot of people say, well, when my children leave, my wife and I'll begin to do this. Or when this, no. Now is the time. Now is the time we wake up. It's later than any of us can imagine.
The truth is, you serve God first, no matter what the government says. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young discusses evangelism, moral compromise, and other exceptions when you're bound to obey God rather than man. That's coming up in the conclusion of the message, Government, Taxes, and Neighbors. Before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a $75,000 challenge grant that has been offered to help meet a vital $500,000 year-end need. This exciting challenge means your gift today will go twice as far to help The Winning Walk close out this year on the strongest possible footing, ready to proclaim the gospel far and wide in the year ahead. Your generosity will lead to a spiritual harvest as together we scatter seeds of truth across the world through this program. So, call today to help meet the year-end need, knowing that your gift will go twice as far when combined with the challenge grant. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. And thank you for helping reach more people in 2023 with the proven truth of God's Word. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Government, Taxes, and Neighbors, Part 2.
Well, you like my dog, Winston. My dog, Winston, man, he just sleeps all the time. He rolls over on his back. He's so trusty. He's just on his back. He's not worried about a thing. Is that you? Is that me? That's how we're to live in Christ. There's no telltale heart there. We keep a clean slate. We repent. We change our style. We get reprogrammed. We head in a different direction than we've been going with that renewed mind that he's building in us. And so we see, first of all, we have to... Perfect. I knew you had it. And also we have to...
Pay up.
Oh, me, look what he says here. Oh, Paul's really getting in trouble here. My, this is way... He says, verse 6, for this cause of this you also pay taxes. For rulers are servants of God, devoting themselves to this very thing. Render to all what is due them, tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. But we're to pay our taxes. And so we discover we look up to the Father for authority, so we... And then Paul tells us what we are not to do and what we are to do under the auspices of
straighten up.
He says, how do we straighten up? Look at the passage. He says in verse 9, for this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in the saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, he's saying, this is what you don't do. Adultery, murder, covetous, stealing. You see, that is what we do not do. That is four of the Ten Commandments. And it covers a broad perspective of immorality. He says, don't do this. Don't do this. He said, but this is what you do. He said, you love. And this is under the banner of the law of love. Now, love is so misused. And the government is not in the business of love. The government is the business of justice. A lot of people, the government administers justice, and individual, we administer love. And by the way, you say, well, you don't need the law. It says, love is the fulfillment of the law. It doesn't say the end of the law. There's a big difference. Some people say, well, just love God and live the way you want to. Well, you better qualify that a little bit. You see, you can't have love without law, and you can't have law without love. So explain that. You see, love is the fulfillment of the law. It's not the end of the law. Here is a river, and this is the river of love. On one bank of the river, you have discernment. On the other bank, you have law. You have truth. And love to operate has to be on the basis of discernment and of the law. In other words, I obey the law only without love. That is legalism. I have love without the law. That is sort of a capriciousness of life. So love and law go together. They're not juxtaposed. They're not in opposition any more than justice and love is in opposition. It is the state administered justice, and individually we're to exercise love. And we're all under the law of love. It doesn't mean that the judge who sentences someone doesn't account in his mind what would be merciful and what would be love, but his primary responsibility is to minister justice under the law. This is how God says, Paul says, we're to operate. And you get this basic principle in how Jesus handled a very tough situation. The Herodians in the Bible, that's a political party. They just were loyal to Caesar, the Roman Empire. They were delighted to be controlled by Rome. They were Herodians. And the other extreme would be the Pharisees. They were super religious. They didn't like Caesar and his stuff. And so you have these two juxtaposed to one another there. But you see, they came together. Following Jesus' triumphal entry, they came together in order to trick him. And some young Herodians and young Pharisees begin to question him. And they praised him a little bit. And then they said, by the way, should we pay our taxes? Whoa, here. They thought, we got him now. If he says, don't pay your taxes, he's revolting against Rome. If he says, pay your taxes, man, he has infuriated the Jews. So what does he say? He said, you're all a bunch of hypocrites. He said, anybody got a coin? He said, look at that coin. Whose picture's on that coin? They said, Caesar. Oh, Caesar. He said, well, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and what belongs to God, give that to him. What is he saying? He's saying that coin was minted by the Romans. Therefore, it is minted with Caesar's picture on it. He was saying, you as a human being, you were minted by the Almighty God, and God's image is in you, in your free will. So here we have the most profound statement you can find as far as relationship between church and state, between us as individual Christians and the state in which we live, whatever state that might be. And you say, well, are there exceptions to... Not straighten up, but there's an exception over here as far as when we do not stay under the yoke of government. First of all, in evangelism, we're to share our faith. A lot of you work in the marketplace, well, you can't wear the cross, you can't share your faith. Nonsense. This is where we draw the line, and we are in civil disobedience and say, I am a Christian, I cannot hide that fact, I'm not obnoxious, but I bear my faith in the marketplace. We can't compromise evangelism. Also, we can't compromise morality. Just because it's legal according to the state, it doesn't mean that it's legal for us as members of God's family. And we see that practice all the way through history. On and on and on, you see it. We see it especially in Nazi Germany. So many graphic illustrations. Martin Niemöller. And I heard him speak when I was a little boy in my hometown. He'd been in concentration camps. He had survived the Holocaust. And he said a pastor visited him. He was a pastor. And the pastor said, Martin, what are you doing in prison? All you have to do is preach and leave out just three things. That's all Adolf Hitler asked us. Just don't talk about three things and you'd get out of prison. And Martin looked at him. He said, you ask me why I'm in prison? I'm asking you, Pastor, why you're not in prison. Not in prison. And so there are errors of morality that we can't blink. Corrie ten Boom was hiding Jews in her home as a Christian. And now, if you haven't seen The Hiding Place, an old, old, old movie, you need to see it. It's a classic. Jeanette Cliff George, member of our church, in fact. And it's a classic. There to illustrate someone who broke the law because he saw the law was immoral and was hiding the Jews in that context. The other area is civil disobedience. There's a time for civil disobedience. We see when the children of Israel left Egypt and Pharaoh, they rebelled against him. There was a movement of civil disobedience. Mahatma Gandhi, civil disobedience when India was taken out from the oppression and domination there of England, Great Britain. And in their own civil rights here in the United States, Martin Luther King was a pacifist, but in the name of Jesus Christ became disobedient so there would be equality among the people and no prejudice and bias. There's an example of civil disobedience. And Operation Refuge takes place. Those who have fought and protested against the now 55 million murders in the name of abortion and pro-choice who are no longer with us were killed in their mother's womb. Civil disobedience. Operation Rescue, trying to salvage children and salvage lives. You see, there's a place. We're under the authority of the government, but there are exceptions here in evangelism, exceptions here in morality, and exceptions here with prayerful, careful, civil disobedience. But other than that, we're under the authority. We're under the authority of the government. And therefore, we move on and we say, first of all, we are...
Wake up.
We're to wake up. That's the next passage. Look at it here. And this is what Paul is instructing. See how practical this is, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 11, do this, knowing the time that is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep. For now, salvation is nearer to us than when we believe. Many people think it's referring to the second coming. I don't think so. I think he's simply saying to Christians there in Rome, wake up. He's saying to us, the 20 verse saying, you got to wake up. It's later than you think. See, a lot of people say, well, when my children leave, my wife and I'll begin to do this. Or when this, no. Now is the time. Now is the time we wake up. It's later than any of us can imagine. I have a good friend. Wallace and I have a good friend. Jerry Vines. Oh, what a great expositor of the book. He's preached here in our pulpit. Jerry said when he was a teenage boy, his mother and dad were strict. He was brought up in a little community there in South Georgia. He said they were so strict. He said he remembers that when his mother said, you can stay out till midnight, 12 o'clock. He thought that was wonderful, but he knew he couldn't get in 1 minute late. But he said he was out one night with a gang, all of a sudden looked up, it was a little before 3 a.m. He said, I just flew back to my home. He said, I opened the door. I was going up those old creaky steps in the house, hoping my mom wouldn't wake up. Then all of a sudden she says, Jerry, is that you? Said, yes, ma'am. Thank you for being home on time. Yes, ma'am. And said, about that time, that big grandfather clock struck three. Bong, bong, bong. He said, I just stood there and put out nine more bongs. Bong, bong, bong. It was later than his mother. He said, my mom never found out about it. Said, the reason you know that is I'm still alive. It's later than we think, ladies and gentlemen. Now is the time to.
Wake up.
All right, also we need to.
Light up.
You tired of walking the twilight zone? You tired of walking the grays of life? It's a wonder to walk out in. And the bright light. Christians were able to do that. Paul is saying, don't stay in the darkness. Don't stay in the darkness. Because in the darkness we come, we need to
clean up.
You got to get cleaner.
Clean up.
That's right. We clean up. And he tells us what we are to clean up. And it's a powerful, powerful thing. It says, let us behave properly as the day, not to carousing, that's in darkness, not drunkenness, that's in darkness, in sexual promiscuity and in sensuality, not in strife and jealousy. We're to clean up our act. And not in strife, in sensuality. The word sensuality there, it's a deadly word. It's a picture of somebody who's not ashamed anymore. Yeah. I'm just not ashamed. You know anybody like, well, I don't care what they think. I'm going to talk the way I want to talk. You know anybody like that? They have lost any sense of shame. How deadly. And they create strife. They create division. They're negative. They're on to something. They're mad about something. They're upset about something. And Paul says simply, we are to. And then he says, finally, we are to
dress up.
Boy, it's a tremendous, tremendous one of these sevens here. He says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. The word provision there is one of those big, giant words in the Bible. It is the word, it is a legal term for loophole. It says, Paul is saying, don't leave a loophole in your Christian life for the lust of the flesh to come out. Have you left any loopholes there? Is anything that those Ebola, those doctors and nurses, they put on those whole outfits early on, but they said, well, we better cover everything. Then they covered everything once or twice. You don't want to leave any loopholes in your mind, in your process, in your life, because that gives an entree for the flesh to come in. Are there any loopholes there? See, we put on Jesus Christ. We're clothed with Jesus Christ. We're covered with Christ. That's how we're to live. That's how we are to walk. So we go through all of this teaching of the Word, and we discover that we are, let's say it together, look up to the authority of God. He's in charge. He's sovereign. He's working things out. We know he's there. And then we are to
pay.
Do what?
Pay.
We are to be under the government and we pay our taxes. We don't like it. We disagree. But we're honest and honorable. We give our Christian witness like that. And then we are to
straighten up.
Absolutely. Paul said, this is what you don't do. He lists four of the Ten Commandments. He said, this is what you do. You love. We just squander our love. We're lovers. We're lovers. That's how we handle that.
Wake up.
Boy, how we need to wake up. It's later than we think. We look around our world. We've talked about it as we study Romans, how America, the world, needs to wake up so we can light up our lives. That's what Christ does. We see kids come through our youth program, and their eyes are so bright, and they get 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and then they begin to get with the wrong people, the wrong crowd, to read the wrong things, look at the wrong stuff on the internet, and message to other people. And all of a sudden, we see something happens to them. Our youth people talk about it. So, well, how is Susan doing? They say, well, you know, her eyes are not as bright as they used to be. You can spot it. It's obvious. The light goes out. It's dim. How important it is that we and then finally, we're able to
dress up
in the armor of light, in the armor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto us, a child is born. Unto us, a son is given. And watch this. And the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Then the seventh verse says, paraphrase it, that his government of peace will know no ending. Isn't that tremendous? His government of peace in his sons and daughters in this life and in the life to come, no ending. So it's time that we listen to Paul, because everybody here has an expiration date. Yeah. Need to be reminded of that. And begin to walk in the light of Christ as he has called us and invited us to walk in that light.
As we round out today's program, Dr. Young is in the studio to answer a couple of questions stemming from today's message. Dr. Young, have you ever personally had to ignore a man-made regulation because you needed to obey a God-given commandment?
Well, absolutely. The God principles of love goes far beyond the legality of the law. So sometimes I can fulfill all the law of man and miss the law of love and the law of ministry. There has been times in my life in which I saw the legal part, but I saw that what I must do as a Christian is far beyond the legal part, which simply meets the demands of the law. There will be occasions, I think, in all of our lives when here is what the law mandates, and we say, you know, that's contrary to what I think is right and accurate and God-honoring. So therefore, we may have to be lawbreakers. We see that in the whole history of America, the American Revolution. They broke laws in order to have religious liberty, religious freedom, and worship. They broke the laws of Britain. That's how America was founded. So there may be occasions. I can think of situations right now. For example, if there were some kind of legal law passed in which the church, the body of Christ, in which I would be a part of, demanded I marry people who are not Christians, people who are not biblical people, I would disobey the law and say, no, I cannot do that because I'm under higher authority than man's law.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You reminded us today that those around us desperately need Jesus. What's one key thing we could do today and every day to help make an impact for the gospel in the world around us?
Begin every morning with the Lord, fresh every day. Get up, get your coffee or get the water or tea or whatever. Find a quiet time. Get by yourself early in the morning, late at night, special times. Allocate them. Say, I've got an appointment. Keep that appointment with the Lord. And that way, as we stay full of Jesus, when we go out into whatever the day may bring, we're able to handle it with grace, with dignity, and with the mind and wisdom of the Almighty. That's the best thing we can do to be life changers. Others see in you and me something they don't have. That gives us ample opportunity to witness in the office, in the marketplace, with neighbors, with friends, in activities. They say, you know, that gal, they've got something that I want. What is it? And you'll have a chance to quietly and humbly introduce them to Jesus Christ.
A great reminder. Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. And we hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word. Before we let you go, though, we'd like to remind you about the urgent $500,000 year-end need, which must be met by December 31. Your support is vital to ensure that together we can sow seeds of the gospel in more hearts and lives in the year ahead. And don't forget, your support will go twice as far when combined with the $75,000 challenge grant. So call now to give and help reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Call us at 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for listening in today. Join us again tomorrow as Dr. Young shares proven truth for how you can live in unity with those you disagree with.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Or give us a call at 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255.